Welcome to this new Blueprint for the Future podcast series from the Consumer Goods Forum. Every 2 months, we'll bring to you the latest news from the Consumer Goods Forum and the wider industry. You'll get to hear from leaders in retail, manufacturing and services, as well as guests we think you'll just find interesting. My name is Trevor Davis, and I will act as your host for what I expect to be a stimulating podcast series. Some of you will know me. I used to work for IBM as the global subject matter expert on the consumer industries, but now I'm working independently to build awareness of some of the exciting business and technology opportunities ahead for us in the end-to-end value chain. If you're not familiar with podcasts, then pop over to the Consumer Goods Forum website, where you'll find instructions for making sure that you don't miss any episodes by subscribing to the entire series. So why do we need a new podcast series? I'll let Rudy Hagedorn tell you more.
Hello everyone, my name is Rudy Hagedorn and I'm the director of the end-to-end value chain pillar at the Consumer Goods Forum. Now part of my role in the end-to-end pillar is to ensure that the Consumer Goods Forum brings together a wide variety of informed opinion on key value chain topics. From discussions we have at Springboard events, we are able to publish executive summaries and white papers, and more recently, we have commissioned blogs from guest authors across the industry, and now we have podcasts too. Most of the podcasts that we have done up until now have had a single guest speaker. But we think there's an opportunity to have a series of podcasts that together form a blueprint for the future of consumer goods and their value chains. The aim is, over time, to bring together multiple perspectives and facilitate more discussion on the big trends that will shape the coming years. The format that we are talking about is more likely a radio show with different sections, current affairs and points of view. Since the idea is to tackle some of the big themes going forward that cross process, organization, technology and data, who better to host the podcast than Trevor Davis, who has worked in consumer goods as a futurist for many years.
So now to our feature for this podcast, decentralization of the value chain. There's a constantly changing dynamic between demand and supply in consumer industry supply chains that's very difficult to address with centralized approaches, in my opinion. Most companies would like to be able to change the configuration of their supply chains quickly, but with so many actors and so many different systems and methods of communication, this becomes too difficult. As we've all experienced, the result of this is that valuable data gets locked away in silos, preventing collaboration and an end-to-end view. It's, of course, difficult to put a true financial value on what this means, but I would estimate around $4 to $5 trillion is locked up in working capital across our industry. This is why there have been several approaches over the years to move away from company-centric approaches, but until recently the information and communication technologies required haven't been mature enough or widely accepted. Of course, blockchain is the latest of these approaches, and although we're probably past the top of the hype curve, we cannot be 100% certain that blockchain is going to fully deliver on its promise of transformed value chains based around smart contracts and concepts such as proof of work. So, what would an invited guest to the podcast think? I'd like to welcome Steve Leng to the podcast. So I'll let Steve say a few words about himself, and then we'll get into some of the questions around decentralization and centralization. Over to you, Steve.
Yeah, thanks very much, Trevor. So my name's Steve Leng. I'm currently the Managing Director of Equinordic UK and Director of the Equinordic Group, which is a group of country-based organizations working in the technology space. So we're primarily a consulting-led technology solutions organization, focusing on what we call the converging technologies of IoT, AI, and blockchain. And I think this whole subject of centralization versus decentralization has perhaps implicitly been close to my heart for many, many years throughout my career.
Steve, I think you would agree with me that there's been a debate going on for some time around how far the value chains in consumer goods should be heavily centralised, around, for instance, a big data warehouse or an ERP. So now we have the rise of these peer-to-peer decentralised technologies like blockchain. Blockchain obviously isn't the only one, but it's probably the best known just at the moment. What's your view on where this debate will wind up?
Yeah, I think there is a lot of debate, as you've said. Personally, I think, from my perspective, I think there's absolutely no doubt that decentralization will increase. And I do think that technology will be the primary enabler of this transformation or this change towards a more decentralized world. I'm absolutely convinced of that. I think that we do need to think about, centralization, decentralization in terms of, there are three levels in my view. There are firms, organizations. There's always been an element of centralization and element of decentralization in firms. Likewise with networks, you've always had business partners in some centralized form in terms of the way they operate within the contracts, but also decentralized in terms of the value they bring. And then you've always had value chains where centralization has been king, but decentralization is growing. So I think we've got to be a little bit careful sometimes when we talk about those two words and think about, what's the context? Is it within a firm, within a network, or within a value chain? But I think, to date within value chains, it's been largely academic. It's been a study-based view of decentralization versus centralization. If you go out there are a million articles on the value of decentralization associated with every process within the value chain. And I think, largely that's why it stayed on at the academic level. There's been nothing to back it up. There's been no enablement, if you like, or no step change in that enablement towards decentralization. So I think now we have a real opportunity to say, well, okay, there's some technology here. It could help us decentralize. Do we want to do that? Will it work? How do we go forward? What's the first step? And I think that's a really exciting place to be.
Isn't it fair to say that we've always had a significant element of decentralization in consumer goods? After all, our supply chains are very extended, often with thousands of suppliers and business partners in our networks. Where do you think we are at the moment in terms of centralization versus decentralization? And what do you think is driving decentralization, if in fact that is the case?
So I think, we've always had an element of decentralization, but I suppose my perspective has largely been shaped by a background from a retailer perspective. In other words, I've tended to work in the retail industry as opposed to the consumer products industry. And, it's lent me a sort of viewpoint which says that, whilst there are ecosystems of multiple players in a given value chain, there's always been that level of control. The contracts are set by the retailers, let's say, and they cascade down all the way through the suppliers to the manufacturers providing goods. And there's always been a push for compliance, typically from the retailer downwards. And that desire for compliance and the ability to translate it economically, in other words, provide sanctions if compliance is not met, has to me always been an exhibition of centralization, even though there are multiple entities involved in the value chain.
Steve, I'd say that in the last few years we've seen a sharp increase in interest in decentralization in the consumer goods value chain. What do you think is really driving this?
I think it's pretty clear that technologies like blockchain, and I'll talk a little bit about blockchain, are the key drivers of decentralization. What do I mean by that? Well, if you take basic economic activity and strip it bare and say, well, what's it all about? It's all about managing resources and transacting with other parties. And to date, centralized organizations or a centralized model of the value chain has always been best at delivering that. But what blockchain offers is an ability to do that automatically, to create contracts to support transactions, to support new communication flows in a systematic way, in a way that people can trust without actually investing trust in that mechanism, because it's driven by algorithms, computer code, et cetera, et cetera. So suddenly, the very fundamentals of economic activity can be addressed in a whole new way. And that's why I think we're at the start or the edge of something where, you know, people will start to realize, actually, we can cooperate, we can collaborate, we can transact, we can work together in totally different ways, ways that we never even thought of before, because we were so used to the way the industries were structured.
I suspect both you and I have a shared view that the current convergence of technologies, especially blockchain, the Internet of Things, and artificial intelligence, offers some interesting opportunities for the industry. Would you like to expand on that a little bit for me, please?
Yeah, I think it's kind of fascinating because, you know, blockchain came along and everybody started talking about blockchain, but obviously 99% of people didn't know what it meant. And now people are realizing that what they're talking about is infrastructure. They're talking about the building blocks of networks. They're not talking about the value. And so suddenly people, when you talk to them, and I've had many of these conversations, people will say, yeah, but what can it do for me? You know, what application can I build on top? What insight, what business insight will it give me? How will it make my business simpler? How will it streamline my processes? So suddenly you've gone from a world of explaining what blockchain is, what a block is, how you hash to get blocks together, to a world where people are saying, yeah, I kind of get that. That's the infrastructure bit, the bit that we have in other ways today. What do I put on top? And I think we're there now. You know, I think we should stop talking about blockchain as such. It's infrastructure. We should say, okay, if you can link all of the data that you're pulling from sensors throughout your business onto a blockchain, so we've got machine-to-machine verification of massive amounts of data, isn't that a good thing? Isn't that something you can use? So suddenly you've brought together IoT and blockchain. And then you say, if we can use that data we've collected in new ways and use artificial intelligence, machine learning, to really look at that data and say, okay, I've driven some insights out of that analysis and I've built capabilities and I've built applications on top, then suddenly the business wakes up. The business says, okay, so I can now do things differently and I'm going to get a business value from doing it. And I don't need to worry about the technology. I just need to talk in business terms. Is that okay? And suddenly, you know, you're in a whole different conversation.
Steve, you've mentioned already that you have a strong retail background. What do you think will happen to stores in a more decentralized future?
I think that's a really good example to look at in detail, because if you think about it, stores have historically operated in a tightly defined centralized model. You know, policies, working practices, operational processes, everything's agreed centrally. Yet at the same time, you've got store teams having to work together as communities. So you've always had an element of decentralization. You know, part of the justification for this sort of centralized control has always been the store can only see part of the picture. They only have access to some of the information. You know, connecting to other people in the ecosystem would be too big, too hard, too difficult. There's no technology for that. But what if you could share information? What if you could use technology? What if you could digitize the store? What if you could capture data about the condition of products, where customers are in the store? What if you could pull all of that data together through blockchains and work with it using AI applications? Suddenly the store comes to life. Suddenly the store is a living entity that can help the store teams actually manage their own business. They can engage with external parties in new ways. They can share data in new ways. They can become almost independent. They can become semi-autonomous, if you like. So I think, you know, I'm painting a very quick picture of a possible future. But I think if people start thinking about those things, it will give them some great insights.
You've painted an intriguing picture of the future of the store. How close do you think we are to this vision?
Well, I think, unfortunately, Trevor, as you know, retail, whilst very fast moving in terms of responding to customers, internally is quite slow to move. And I think that's true probably of the whole value chain. So I think whilst people can understand the potential this technology or these technologies can provide, embracing them is always a far, far bigger challenge. So I think in terms of closeness, I think in my mind, 5 years, I think, you know, if you have new models of how you deploy and supply the technology, i.e. you don't buy it yourself, you work with third parties who put the technology in place. If you move to a more hybrid organizational model in that sense, then I think it could be quicker. But I do think 5 years before we see the sort of store I'm talking about.
Steve Ling, thank you very much for your input.
It's been my pleasure, John.
Well, we're almost at the end of this first podcast, and I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have and found it insightful. Over the rest of the year and into 2020, we're going to cover another series of topics such as artificial intelligence, reality versus the hype. We're going to take a look at sustainable practices in the value chain. We're also going to look at emerging technologies such as augmented reality and virtual reality, how they're going to help with reinvention of the physical store. We'll have a special edition on the future of IT in the value chain, looking at the impact of new architectures based on microservices and containers, for example. And we'll also have a look at value chain metrics and analytics. So if you think you have something to add, then get in contact. And who knows, you may get invited to be a guest on one of the shows. So that's all for this particular podcast. Remember to subscribe to the entire series if you enjoy it. And if you aren't sure how to do that, then you can find more information on the Consumer Goods Forum website. Thank you.